Blog Talk Radio.
Soon, but
definitely go check that video out, Shakedown Media Network. Also, check out the Nick Filato interview. Also, check out the John Hendricks interview. Check out the NFC West matchup previews. That's video up there as well. So, yeah, we've been working, man. So, y'all definitely go ahead and check that out. Pop that up in your on your YouTube screens. And grab some popcorn and enjoy. All right? So, now, in this Shakedown AM morning show, I told everybody that I had a question that I kind of presented out in spaces as well. But my question for everybody is on Daniel Jones. I want to know from all you Giant fans, because Daniel Jones has never threw for 4,000 yards in his career. So I want to know, can he do it now? Will he be Daniel 4K? Or will he be the Daniel that some people grown to know who he is, and that's being turned over Daniel? What Daniel Jones will we get in this upcoming season? That's what I want to know from you folks. So whoever's listening out there right now, go ahead and call in, chime in, let me know. Will he be Danny 4K or will he be Turnover Jones? Number to call in is 563-999-3611. That's 563-999-3611. All right? I wanted to go over some of his stats. So while I pull it up, I'm going to go ahead and let this caller in. I believe this is my boy. Is this E? Caller, you are on the show.
Yo.
What's your name and location, my brother?
E, the chosen one from the Bronx. Shakedown representation. You know what time it is.
What it do, bro? Long time no hear. Welcome back, man.
Yeah, you already know. I had to make sure that I supported what my brothers was doing this morning. I'm about to throw that tweet out there, too, at the same time that we're kicking it. I needed to hear the voices of my brothers, talk to you guys. You know what I mean? I've been under the weather. Everybody knows that. Even you guys, you can still hear it a little bit as I breathe in. But I'm here to give whatever wind power that I got to answering your question, to getting the Giants fans in this room, to let's definitely talk about some football. OTAs is underway. I'll be giving my 53-man roster prediction. I'm just excited, bro, to be at least 50% in health and to be blessed by your voice, man.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate hearing from you this morning, man. That's great. Real quick, for those who don't know, my boy E, the chosen from the Bronx, has also joined Big Blue Knockout, BBKO. He definitely joined those dudes over there as well. So y'all can definitely catch them on Spaces. Shit, every damn day, right? I be seeing them up there every day. But, yes, you can catch them up on Spaces. Definitely check those brothers out. Shouts to Mello. Shouts to Stas. Shouts to Day Uno. And Ida Rondo and everybody else that's a part of that clique, man. Y'all do some great work. So y'all keep it up, man. And, yeah, man, you know, that the reason why I'm saying that, you know, give them the shout-outs, but also to give you your shout-outs on, you know, making that transition to, you know, be a part of them and help them out, but also be a part of us. It's not going to be easy. Trust me, you know me. I'm always all over the place. So, you know, I'm definitely seeing or wanting to know how you deal with all of that. But we'll see how that is going forward. But absolutely. Glad to hear from you, man. And how you feeling about the question, Danny 4K or is turnover Daniel?
You know what's crazy, man? It's first of all, let's talk about how great the question is. A lot of people won't understand how great of a question that is. Because once they think a quarterback has more weapons, they automatically put him in a positive place, which is what you're supposed to do, because that's what you thought he was lacking the season before that. That's the reason why you call for it. But you also have to be careful with that. Getting offensive weapons is a two-edged sword. Sometimes quarterbacks get a little bit too overzealous and make the mistakes that they didn't make before because they have the confidence in the weapons they got but aren't on the same page with them. Fortunately for a kid like this, that was one of the biggest problems in his career that Dable wanted to make sure he corrected. We've seen the turnover kid even when he had success in his first rookie year. In his second season, it got worse. And in his third season, the injuries and everything on top of that. So this was one of the things that Dable said, you know what, in order for you to be a competent NFL quarterback, not just a starter, not a backup, just a quarterback period in this league, you're going to have to stop giving the team, or the other team rather, opportunities. You're going to have to learn how to control the field. You're going to learn how to make decisions. And once he got under Dable's wing, that turned around tremendously. That people may look at the 15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions and turnover ratio, which was very low, and go, wow, you know, his turnover ratio was really, really low. But that was the thing that Brian Dable brought to him in his career. I don't think if Brian Dable was the coach of the New York Giants, Daniel Jones is the quarterback of the New York Giants. So I say that to say this. Can he throw for 4K, which was the second part of your question? Absolutely, because he has what it takes to do it. He has the players and the weapons on the field to get it done. The turnovers are down, which means he's going to have an alertness and awareness that when even when the play breaks down and he's not going to run, something we saw him do with lesser talent last season, he threw that ball away. And he didn't throw the ball away weakly when it was probably catchable by somebody. He made sure he got that ball away so that he could fight for another down. And that right there is the thing that clicked the most. So let's break it down so I can simply answer it in the way that you asked. Can he throw for 4K? Absolutely. Is he going to make some mistakes and turnovers? Absolutely. Will he be turnover Jones that we remembered from 2 years ago? No way, no how. And that part I equivalent to the coaching.
Yeah, it is. Me too. My question to that is, okay, so in this season, going forward, do you think that he has the weapons to get the 4K?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're looking at a guy in Darren Waller who is a 1,000-yard receiver any day of the week, barring health, right? We always go to these barring health words. I like to remove that. Until injured is what I like to say moving forward, right? He's a 1,000-yard receiving tight end until injured. Darius Slayton almost hit that mark a couple of times in his career, even though he has been the third or second option most of his career. Paris Campbell just recently almost hit that same stride and mark in his career last season. Jalen Hyatt, the new addition from Tennessee, is going to be a defense stretching wide receiver, crossing routes, all the things that Kafka likes to do. Let's not forget, we still have Daniel Bellinger. We still have Saquon Barkley. We have some new additions that are going to probably make this team once tryouts hit, a.k.a. a Bryce Ford Wheaton. We also have Jamison Crowder. People forget that. We have veterans of a mixture of veterans and rookies that are on this team and undrafted free agents that are going to make up a wide receiving core that will allow him, if staying healthy, right, until he's injured, Daniel Jones will have a lot of weapons and he'll have places to throw the ball. So it's how our offense will be based, but I believe 4K is nowhere near an unattainable goal.
Right.
I think he has the guys.
Got you. I think for me, man, I think he has to, you know, get to that 4K because, and it's not like me picking or nitpicking or anything. It's just that, you know, when you become a quarterback that makes 40, 50 million per, that no longer tells me that the organization sees you as an average Joe or anything, right? Because even if, like they felt like he was just an average borderline starter in this league, right? Like, if they felt that way and they still liked him and wanted to bring him back, what would they would have gave him, right? They would have gave him, they probably would have franchised him, all reality. But
right.
If it came to a deal, it would have been maybe 30-year per. I mean, 30 mil per or maybe even 25. You know, they would have lowballed this man because he didn't earn that, right? The fact that he did earn that money is the reason why he got 40 million, right, per. So, for me, it's just like, all right, you earned it, but now you have to show that you are that quarterback. So, 4K, that's not even superstar, you know what I mean, numbers, though. Like, that's, you know what I mean, regular quarterback. We not asking too much of you. Just give us 4K. And I think that if you, if he comes out and give us 4K, I think we off and running, man. Because I already know what Saquon going to do. So he gives us 4K, man. That means this offense is prolific.
Let me say this. I'm all the way with you. I believe that at this point, when you pay a quarterback, what he got, $140 million, right?
$140
million, right? $60 million guaranteed. Right, 60 guaranteed.
Yeah.
You're being put confidence in. Are they saying, "Hey, kid, go out and win me a Super Bowl this year"? No, they're saying the success you had last year, we want to see how far you can go if we do some things to help you out and make sure we get you what you need this year. You're the guy. For the first time in his career, he feels like he's the guy. And when a quarterback plays with that confidence, we're going to see a different quarterback, first of all, between the ears. That's number one. Second of all, it's going to translate on the field. Third, we'll see those games that he had last season where we're like, okay, we need a drive. Can he do it? He proved he can do it. Now the question is, can he move forward in consistency with that? You pay a guy for consistency. You don't pay him for forecasting. Now we've seen him in the playoffs. We've actually seen him win a playoff game. Those are all things that people don't think he can imitate and copy and emulate for his own self. Our GM and our head coach said, you know what? We believe in him. Now it's time for you guys to start to see what we believe in. And that is what the biggest eye test is going to be. Can he duplicate what he did last year, but in a better way? He has better weapons. He has an anchor on the offensive line, although he's a rookie and he's going to go through some growing pains, especially in our division. He's going to go through it in our division. But I love the fact that the kid is an older kid. He's not a young kid. He's an older kid and 24 years old and John Michael Schmidt. So his grown man strength as an offensive lineman is starting to, you know, peak already. because he doesn't have to go through those 20 to 24 years old, that peak. So he's at the 24 to 27 to 28 body peak and strength peak. So if he can get his technique down, keep himself anchored, he's going to be something that Daniel Jones has never had in his career, which is a legitimate center who plays center that is a center. The development of Evan Neal, we all know we got an Andrew Thomas. We have three solid offensive linemen that will pick up the slack for the two interior guys if they're lacking in any area. But they'll also gain off the three offensive linemen that's there already. So to answer all questions across the board, Montana, I believe this team, this quarterback, this offense will be something different than what we saw last season, because now Mike Kafka has a bigger playbook, has more plays, has more things to do, because we hated the fact that he was limited, so it made us think that he was limited. He doesn't have to go through that anymore. He has guys that when you look across the board, talent in every area. It's safe to say Darius Slayton is a number three, right? It's okay to say he's a number three receiver. Guess what? When your number one runs a 4-3-1, when your number two runs a 4-3-3, when your number three is 6-5 and he's a 4-5, can get off the line, red zone threat, and then your tight end is a top five tight end until injured, is in this league, can't nobody cover this kid at all. We all know this. You have to be confident in plays that you're about to call and run. So I'm just here to see it, man. I'm here to see it, man.
No doubt. I got a wide receiver question for you while we're waiting on LRP to get his ass up in here. But so I'm not sure if you've seen this or not, but Chaz Ocho-Cinco, and for all worth, he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to do this, but he came out in the media and defended Jalen Hyatt and went against the naysayers or the media people that says, oh, he's only speed and doesn't, he's very limited in his route running. And what Ocho-Cinco said was, that's lazy talk. He said, that's lazy talk. The boy can run every route. So you watch him burn. You know, and paraphrasing what you're saying. So how you feeling about, first, number one, Jalen Hyatt, and two, how you feeling about Ocho-Cinco coming to his behalf?
Well, one, wide receiver you never changes. And when the great ones see the talent in another great one, the first thing they do is come to play the game of mentorship, big brother almighty, and also protector. That's how that goes in anything that we do. When you love somebody and you love what you do, but you've heard these rumblings before, you like to come to show the younger generation how you catch these things and put them in a bag and use them for motivational tools, because that's what your tool bag becomes, motivational. You say, you know what, I remember when you said, I have a skill set. And I said, what's that? And you said, just speed. And I said, I can run routes too. And you said, we'll see. Chad Ocho-Cinco said, you know what, I heard when they came to you and you said that and you showed up and you showed out. Guess what, though? See, I love the fact that you asked this question, because a lot of people are not going to understand how important what I'm about to say is. If you think he only is talking about this kid, you are sadly mistaken. He is also a route runner. Ocho-Cinco was one of the best route runners in the NFL. That's what made him Ocho-Cinco, speed, strength, and route running. So the question is, if you don't think that he has gotten with this kid already and is going to give him some wisdom and also get him right, y'all got another thing coming. You don't talk that much about a kid if you ain't never been in person with him and you ain't willing to get with him and show him some things because you've been successful in his league. Scrutinized, ostracized, crucified. That's what they did to Ocho Cinco. You know why? Because he was a loudmouth football player who showed everything he needed to on the field and felt the way he felt. That's who he is. He's a personality, but it translated onto the field. I can't wait till he gets with Jalin Hyatt and gives him that wisdom, that route running skill set, that understanding of nuances, and this kid is in good hands.
I totally agree, man. Definitely was a route runner. He can definitely show him a lot as far as that is concerned. But for me, you know, just looking at it like that, seeing that not only, well, Ocho Cinco coming out of the woodworks to defend him, that was definitely, like, something huge that I was looking at. But, you know, he's not the only one. Steve Smith and all these guys went in there and really defended this kid. So, for me, I just can't wait to see the kid out on the field because he doesn't have a lot of naysayers going against him on it. So what do you feel like, besides his speed, bro, what do you feel like his best asset is?
Oh, that's easy. In college, he ran the routes that was called. Nine routes, crossing routes, underneath. And I don't want to get too, you know, I don't want to get too X's and O's because I'll confuse people sometimes. Not you, but some people. So basically, I'll explain the routes. Go routes, of course, you guys know that's when a receiver goes up the field full speed, and if a cornerback cannot get out of his back pedal, shade, or mirror, he's going to blow by him. This kid had blow-by speed. It didn't matter who you put on him at cornerback. It didn't matter how many yards you played off him. Once he got past you and you could not catch up to him after he got 2 to 3 steps in front of you, the ball was in the air by Hendon Hooker, and the best part about it is, see, people got to realize the way you show great hands is by making long catches. Those short catches require tight, gripped, quick hands. But a long catch requires timing. Your hand and eye coordination has to be on the timing for deep passes. That's why they're so heralded. That's why they get so much excitement when they make them. This kid has a set of hands, a set of hands. He had a minimum amount of drops. And when he did, they were concentration drops where he was so quick, twitchy with his body that he took his eyes off the ball because he was ready to run. A mistake that all wide receivers make because you're so anxious. But once he was able to slow himself down and Hendon Hooker and himself got on that timing, look at the plays that he made. People said, yo, I can't understand how this kid is so wide open all the time. You know why? Because he left his defender 9 to 11 yards in back of him crossing his face. When a wide receiver with his speed crosses a defender's face, it is truly hard to pick up against him coming across the field and going up the field. So slant routes, nine routes, crossing routes, speed routes, stop and go and zig routes, these are all routes that break you free due to speed. He's not a possession receiver. He's a speedy, over-the-top threat, a.k.a. DeSean Jackson. If anybody knows what DeSean Jackson was, Jalin Hyatt is DeSean Jackson incarnate.
Wow. You know, when you say all these things, like, what I think of is, like, and you're totally right about all of it, but what I come to think of is his initial burst. Like, the dude can go from 0 to 60 so fast. It's amazing. And I don't think, like, anybody can really match up with that. Like, when you know, it's something when a guy runs a 4.3 speed and all that, you're like, all right, yeah, man, that motherfucker fast. Like, even Darius Slayton, right? Like, run 4.3, but it takes him a little minute to giddy up. You know what I'm saying? Takes him a little minute.
Right.
It's like
getting in the second gear in a car. You feel me?
Yeah.
Or when you're on a motorcycle, you can hear the sound of the changing of the gears. That's how you know you went forward.
That's
he
a fact.
Don't need to get into it.
No, he doesn't. He's a Tesla, bro. He's a Tesla, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just shoop, automatic. Shoop, gone. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing about Jenna Hyde that for me, I'm like, yo, that boy going to be dangerous to cover because of that factor, because it don't take him long to get to high speed. I mean, it just takes him a second to get to high speed. You're not going to be able to keep up with that. Now, what do you think about that, bro?
Listen, the one thing that I would love to say that about, right? And I would love to just not think about it in any different way, is he's going to have those moments. But there are going to be the moments where he's pressed. And I need to see how he gets off that press. Because he was not touched hardly in college because of the fact that he came off the line and they schemed him open in so many various ways. You know what I mean? So in my opinion, you're absolutely right. But Deontay Banks is the key, because he's going to have a guy in a cornerback like him, and I have to bring him up because it is relative to Jalin Hyatt. He's going to have a guy where all he knows is press, 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 press. That is this kid's bread and butter. So he's going to learn from a guy his age, coming from a school that he's actually played against once or twice, I think, in his career, and they're going to sharpen each other. So I want to see now how that speed equivalates after having the hand fight at the line, after having to break free at the line, and also making a cornerback make a mistake. I can't wait to see how that translates into that 0 to 100 real quick.
That's a fact. All right. Now, it is another wide receiver that I do want to get the people to get your take on, because, you know, Shakedown fans ain't really get to hear you in a week or two. So I want to know, Bryce for Wheaton. I know this is your type of wide receiver. I know this is your guy. But what does he really bring to the table for the New York Giants? Do you think he will make this 53-man roster? I know we ain't get your 53 yet, but do you think Bryce for Wheaton makes this roster?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to tell you why. He's everything we wanted to see. Collins Johnson, David Seals, and I think his name is Marcus Polk. I think it's Marcus Polk. Forgive me if I got his first name wrong. Makai Polk. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Makai
Polk. You're welcome.
He's all three of those guys with a little bit of Isaiah Hodgins. All trapped in one. He's the biggest, tallest wide receiver we've ever had. Meaning his straight line speed. We've never had a guy 6'4", 225 pounds that can run a 4.3. Not only is he a possession receiver, he's a red zone demonic attack. He's not afraid to go over the middle. They've used him in a lot of different ways. He's just with a quarterback when he was in West Virginia that we probably never even heard of before. So I won't even mention his name because I don't know it.
Right.
We don't know who was throwing him the ball. That's number one. Number two, they were a trash team. So when your team is trash and not winning, your local media coverage and national media coverage is not like that. He's a steal. He's a diamond in the rough, and he was a prioritized undrafted free agent. See, it's the difference between having guys that are just UDFAs and they get that little minimum to sign and get a chance in training camp, and here's your shot, and here's your feel-good story. No, they saw the talent in this kid and prioritized him because they said, wait a minute, do y'all know who we're about to bring in this building who didn't get drafted? So let me say this right now. I'm going to make it early, right? 53-man predictions. You ready?
Yeah.
He just moved Collins Johnson, Mekhi Polk, and Davis Seals straight on a plane. Book it. Book it. Bryce Ford Wheaton will be our number five wide receiver coming into this season. Book it.
How many wide receivers do you think we go?
I definitely think we keep seven. I think we keep seven minimum.
Yeah.
Because we got some guys coming off major injuries, and we don't know how they're going to look when the start of the regular season happens. When you're coming off a major injury, especially as a wide receiver, where your legs, your hands, and all of these lower body movements are your bread and butter, you have to get back in sync with the game. You haven't had game speed. You haven't had time to practice. You're still rehabbing. You don't want any setbacks. You know, there's a mental confidence that comes along with that. There's just a lot coming off major injuries where you miss an entire season. So you have to put your eggs in the basket of health and also the best available player for the time that comes up. Our first game is on a Sunday night versus the Dallas Cowboys. You want to put your healthiest 11 on that field.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. We previewed the NFC West. We had the schedule release. Man, yeah, you were in there for the schedule release joint too. We gotta get that from you as well, man. Missed a lot, man. But we got LRP in the building with us as well too. What's going on, brother?
What it do, what it do. Peace, peace. Up your wake, up your wake, up your wake. What is going on? Yeah. E George 16, Montana. What up, E? What it do, baby?
What's up, baby? Had to call in to listen to my two favorite people in the morning, you know, and make sure that I gave the love and support to my crew, you know what I'm saying, and let them know that I'm in the building, retweeted everything out for you guys, sent that to about 218 people. So hopefully we should have some callers call in so they can hear the jazz, baby.
No doubt. Again, the number is 563-999-3611. My bad, bro. I just wanted to let the people know it's 563-999-3611. What was you saying, bro?
No, you all good, bro. And I was going to just simply say that if they are not, then that's fine because we still going to be talking and it's still going to be some dope-ass shit. So hopefully they go into the corners and the street alleys and E Street, U Street, Constitution Ave, make sure that they get this dope.
That's a fact. But, yeah, I was just, you know, getting E caught up on everything that we had done so far. You know, I was just getting his thoughts on these wide receivers, Jalen Hyatt and Bryce Ford Wheaton. So, what us doing?
I was just going to finish on Wheaton pause and give the people just something that we've been missing for a very long time. We've been missing a guy that's 6'4", who can run and make plays from the slot for us. And what I mean by that is I want to bring people back to last season. A lot of the third downs that the New York Giants had converted on the defense was when they put a bigger wide receiver in the slot versus us on third and whatever the yardage may have been and was successful and went back to this same repetitious play over and over and over and over. And I'm not here to beat down anybody in the cornerback's room to make it seem like they were just being picked on and beat up. But it was a philosophy. we can finally copy that philosophy by putting a kid with that speed, that size, that cannot be covered by a cornerback or a linebacker coming across the field for third down conversions against our division now. Who do they put in the slot to face a guy 6'4 who runs a 4'3, 230 pounds?
Yeah, I don't know, bro. I don't know, bro. Can't match up with that, bro. But me, I think they initially, like, they first use him as, like, a situational guy, goal lines, purposes, and all that whatnot. That's what I think that they do with him in the first year. But I do think that he makes this team and play an integral part on that because we definitely need that goal line guy, man. Even though we got Waller and we still got Bellinger out there, and they definitely going to be scoring some touchdowns. But we need a wide receiver that can be that goal line threat. Do y'all agree?
Say that again?
Well, basically, to paraphrase it, I think that he's going to be situational in Bryce Ford Wheaton, and I think he will be the goal line guy. Yeah, I think that would be, like, good for him as his role, or you think it's more for him in Bryce Ford Wheaton?
I think there's more in store for him. If he is pigeonholed to, and I won't say pigeonholed to say that that's all he does. I get what you're saying as far as an added incentive to help out on goal line or another option that can create mismatch, then sure. But I do think, and I would love to see more from him. I would love to see him be involved in packages and involved in many shotgun packages, many even with I formation with two, you know what I mean, if you want to do the 21 or the 22 personnel, whatever, and have two receivers and have them kind of mismatch with people. But I'm going to need to see a lot more. Well, not need to, but I would like to because I think this kid is really talented in multiple ways.
No, I'm with you on that, but I think as far as, you know, getting and paving his way onto the field, you know what I'm saying? Like, paving his way, like,
yeah,
he's going to have... Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they're going to give him an assignment and say, you know, handle your assignment. And I think he will handle that assignment real well, and it will give him more opportunities. That's me. That's what I think. But what do you think, E?
I'm with the both of you. But I'm going to have to sway a little bit more on the side of Shakes only because of one thing. You know how our coaches coach, and you know where Mike Kafka comes from. That's the way that they do things over at Kansas City. They give you an opportunity to be successful, and your success breeds your opportunities. Do not let him make a mistake in the end zone where he drops a pass. Here he goes away from the offense and being taken away from plays that he could have had if he was successful. Let him catch a touchdown in the end zone in a game and contribute. Now he becomes a part of that package. That's how they do over in Kansas City. And I know Mike Kafka is an emulating dude because that's what he comes from over there. I believe that exactly what LRP says as well. He's probably going to be used, featured in more things, but they're going to find his specialty thing within the offense. But so it's to start the beginning of his career, he's going to be in packaging. Okay, goal line. Here's a lineup in the goal line. I would love for you guys to talk to me about how you feel. And then I'll go to a regular package that, like, something that LRP is talking about where he'll be used as a possession receiver. You ready? Here's goal line. Darren Waller. Bryce Ford Wheaton. Isaiah Hodgins. Paris Campbell. Who you guarding? You got three guys over 6'4" and one guy that is 6 feet that can run zigzag all across the field. You got it. Everybody can rebound.
I'm going to be watching the
Aaron Miller, Isaiah Hodgins, Bryce Ford Wheaton, Paris Campbell. Who you got it?
Yeah.
Barkley going to be on the field. Daniel Jones could be on the field.
He's going to be on the field. Yeah, it's a pretty dangerous package there. Yeah.
Okay, now let's move over to something that LRP was talking about where he might be used in a different way, right? Let's talk about this lineup on the field. Bryce Ford Wheaton on the outside. Isaiah Hodgins on the outside. Jalen Hyatt in the slot. Darren Waller at tight end. Who you guarding?
I'm going to do that move.
Big body receivers running possession routes. Your slot receiver running a 4-3-1 up the field on a slant, and your tight end stretching the field 20 yards down the field because no linebacker or cornerback can cover him, and he's going to move to safety. Mismatch nightmares all around the board. Both of you guys.
That's what I was about to say. So basically what you're saying is that they can't really guard us with, like, the packages that we can throw out there.
I'm going to say this to you, Shakes, and this is a conversation I had with an actual fan about a month ago, right? Shout-outs to Caleb from the Washington Commanders. I had an actual conversation with him, and I would love to bring it up on you guys' show this morning, and I want you guys to take a thought process. What team from 1 to 4 can guard our wide receivers from 1 to 4? After you get past that second cornerback, it starts to get a little murky. You may run into a team like the Cowboys, right, who has 3 solid cornerbacks which can do their jobs, right? But now when you get to a 4th wide receiver, when you get to a 5th wide receiver, what are they going to do? All the being Darren Waller's on the field. He's on the field. So we're not even going to talk about the tight end who's possibly going to be our number one receiver. We're just going to talk about our receivers. Isaiah Hodgins, we know he's going to be there. Paris Campbell, most likely he's going to be there. Jalen Hyatt, we know he's going to be there. Wandell Robinson, when he comes back healthy. Sterling Shepard, when he comes back healthy. I'm just naming those guys. I'm not even naming the other guys that are on the team. So with those names right there, how do you guard a 4 wide receiver set? Which team, start with our division, has the cornerback talent to guard a 4 wide receiver set?
Well, let's get into it. So what does San Fran have? How deep do they go?
Cornerbacks-wise, San Fran has 2 guys that I think
just
are definitely
I'm
solid.
I'm going to put out there like
I think the Ward kid is solid. That Ward kid is solid. He's solid.
So that's in – I'll get into their life in a second here when I get back.
Yeah, you want to start with our division,
but for,
like we always do?
Yes, starting with –
Yeah, Jimmy Ward.
Just off the premise and the surface, just off the surface of what you said, I absolutely agree. We – going through the 53 yesterday, y'all make sure y'all go on YouTube, download that episode, Big Wednesdays will be debated. And we actually had some fruitful debates about – who had who. You know, there were some players missing. There was some consistency, but then there was some debates on certain players, which was so fun. But, and he was got to hit your 53. But off the surface of it, we got 6 guys, right? So we was talking whether we keep 6 or 8, you know what I mean? And I'm seriously on the fence because when you talk about the 8, you're getting pretty deep. And these guys still have yet to show themselves, but they were talented when they were picked in the first place. So you thinking about four guys that can guard the potential six that we keep are all potential mismatch nightmares. And I know on the space the other day, Anthony was like, oh, I don't know about these receivers because they haven't done shit. So I was like, that's not him. And I agree with him. They haven't done shit. But, you know, you always vision your analytics, your analysis on projection and maturation, just down to 13, whatever. So I agree. Once they get into their third bag or their third corner or their third slot guy, you definitely are creating a mismatch regardless. He's not even getting brought up, Barkley. I mean, because he hasn't signed yet. But the other guys, Daniel Jones' feet, Barkley's feet, Rob receivers, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I don't see how you can defend that.
You can't. All you can do is come up with some type of defensive scheme and hope you get to the quarterback before the ball is out of his hands. And somebody misses their assignment within the zone, meaning as offensively, because you can only play zone coverage to defend that. You can only play zone coverage. You can't play cover two. You damn sure ain't playing cover zero. Because people have to be accounted for. Once Darren Waller is on the field, you allocate funds to that. You don't play with that. You don't play with that at all. So, okay, we're going to either have one of our better cornerbacks being helped out with the bracket by maybe a linebacker to help try to bracket this guy or keep him, you know, in double coverage at some point. Somebody's going to be free. And with all that speed, coming across the field, turning up the field, is a problem. And if your pass rush goes past our quarterback, you leave 8 to 12 yards open in a gash where we all know he's the third or fourth fastest quarterback in the NFL in straight line speed.
Now, the critical side of it for me, and this will excite a lot of people, but if I'm, as they so-called say, being a realist, you know, which doesn't make sense because if you speak the truth based off of what you see anyway, you'll be authentic no matter what. So Daniel Jones missed a lot of plays. He left a lot of plays on the field last year. That was my one critical thing that I had. Everything else to improve, turnovers, moving in the pocket, ball security, and all that. However, that last step, that 36 chamber, needs to be seen in the field. Absolutely seen in the field, having things slow down, almost like some, you know, wanted shit, but the dude had to reach in and grab that goddamn gold thing, looking at fine as, what's his name, Angelina Jolie during that time. So, does he do that? Because what we're talking about is incumbent on him being able to see that open man, like he said, you know what I mean, or being able to capitalize on that matchup, like you said. You know, does that happen? You know what I mean? And do, you know, because that's my concern. When you have so much to choose from, it's like when you first go shopping.
Right.
First go grocery shopping, you don't know what the fuck you gonna cook that night.
Yeah, cause you, yeah, man, he's like, oh, I can get that.
It's real cold.
Oh, I get that. Oh, I want that though. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Fuck around and end up making cold cuts. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, it's a thing.
That's a fact.
I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
I was so pissed off and Mike Kafka at times because I felt he had better ingredients to cook a better meal, and I was wrong. I have to openly admit I was wrong. But now, seeing what he did with those ingredients, and he came up with a hell of a meal, and everybody was pleased until we got into the divisional round because that same recipe was basura against the Eagles. They eat a different type of meal I look at it now as he has ingredients, seasonings. He's even went online and found some recipes that we've never seen before that he would like to try out. And that's what's going to make him and the New York Football Giants the most dangerous team on offense this season, because you still don't know what it's going to look like. You got game film on old ingredients. You have nothing on the new ingredients.
And even piggyback off that, because that was something that I felt last year. It's like, shit, man, I felt like he was doing great with the motherfucking shit he had, right? I felt like he made a meal out of just motherfucking macaroni noodles and sauce. You know what I'm saying? Now, this motherfucker made a meal out of macaroni noodles and sauce. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Like, how do you do that shit? He put the motherfucking shrimp and all types of shit up in that motherfucker, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, that motherfucker had all types of seasoning and all types of shit in that shit. But now, he got all types of motherfucking ingredients. Like my boy said, this motherfucker could make a gumbo. This motherfucker can make any type of motherfucking dish he want to make right now. Fish, which is my favorite dish. You know what I'm saying?
And I hope so. I hope so, and I'm confident that it will be. I really am, because this is year two, you know, and like you guys said, as far as Bryce Ford, we starting out producing plays, kind of cerebrally, you know, attacking how you implement. That's, I think, the biggest difference with this team and this coaching staff is how they implement, how they introduce the tools. You know what I'm saying? And that's important. And I love that. So, case in point, right? Analysis directly affecting what we see on the field. That Tennessee game, I know it's the first game, but they did it again the week after, and we got those first 3 weeks. Their offense wasn't scripted to where we can kind of almost guarantee do some wrestling shit with Garrett stuff. You know what I mean? This is where he's throwing into the rope. Up, dude, going to land on the Sully, he's going to jump over him. Going through a little something fast, all of a sudden, bam, clothesline. You know what I mean? We could absolutely knock that shit out with Garrett. But week two, for me, I was like, oh, he's setting him up for this. This bootleg is setting him up for that. That same package and that same play, oh, that shit went that way that time. You know what I mean? And it went. It switched up once they reached the 30. On the other side of the 30, you started seeing shit differently. You were setting them up for it. And I love that shit. I was like, I don't know if anybody else see it. You know what I mean? But of course they do. But you implement that same style to these guys and these ingredients that, like you guys said, all of a sudden now you took the steak to the side with the garlic butter drizzling with the spoon over the steak versus what you used to do. You know what I mean? Same shit, but just different style. Yeah.
Definitely, man. Hey, excuse me. Either chosen one from the Bronx. You back, or boy, what's going on with you?
50%, bro. Just getting my health in order. A couple weeks, I'll definitely be like all the way strong, going strong, doing what I need to do. Just taking time to rest, you know, taking time off of employment at the moment as well. Just like really, really getting myself together, man. I broke down, burnt out. And then I caught that crazy upper respiratory infection that just, God said, you know what? I know you like to do things, but sometimes you got to sit down. So I'm sitting down for a second. But 2 weeks or so, man, I'll be back, you know what I mean, back on the scene, like a spy on the movie screen.
Yeah, he definitely going, you know what I mean? He's going to sit you down when you need to be sat, you know what I mean?
Amen to that, brother.
Really?
Amen to that.
What you do for the respiratory shit? How that shit was breaking up?
Everything organic, and you know what I mean? Just everything organic, waking up the cold in my chest, you know what I'm saying? Drinking a lot of tea, staying hydrated, moving, because a lot of people don't realize when you don't move at all, that's when everything really starts to pile up on you. you know, humidifier at night in the room, you know what I'm saying, making sure that I got that hydration as well with the condensation from that. So I just did everything naturally. I didn't take any medicine, any antibiotics, none of that. So just, you know, let my body naturally fight it, you know, send those soldiers out into my immune system and fight back.
I need to get me an air purifier. Every time somebody mentions that shit, I'd be like, man, I just that's the stuff.
Yeah.
That shit ever happen to y'all when you, you know what I'm saying, take y'all forever to buy something because you keep forgetting because it's not that. I don't know. I've been wanting an air purifier, but every time
exactly.
I go to the store, I fucking leave the store without one.
I know exactly what you mean. But yeah, we got like four of them motherfuckers in my house. Play around.
I know you said humidify, but it makes him automatically think like shit.
It's
a real thing, man. I got a question for you guys, man. I know we haven't seen Mike Kafka in his element yet. We've seen him, you know, dig into his bag and make the best out of the worst. But now that all those positions are upgraded without a doubt across the board, we only kept one wide receiver from last season, which is Darius Slayton. I mean, Sterling Shepard and Wandell Robinson got hurt. Kadarius Toney was traded away. So we have an absolute, if you look at it, across the board, starting-wise, possibly, outside of Isaiah Hodgins, and he wasn't a part of Mike Kafka's, you know, squad originally. Remember, he was brought in due to injury to the wide receivers from the Buffalo Bills. We got him from the Bills. So Dable is more familiar with him than anybody and had the confidence in him more than anybody. This season, you guys are going to see a different set of wide receivers on the field with an addition of a talented, until injured, Darren Waller. Where does that bring you guys' confidence level at with this offense?
LLP, you can go. That's LLP doing something. All right. Well, for me, confidence level. Are we going to 10? Is that where we on? We a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, at this point, let's break the scale. If we have that success with those guys who were nowhere near, let's get this out there, who were nowhere near as talented as the guys we have in the room now, let's break the scale. Talk back to me.
That's my bad. When you said go ahead, LLP, I was going to come off the top rope and say I'm very high. My confidence level and my self-esteem, my ability to talk shit to others, very high. I myself, because I do that already, that's fantastic. Drop dead sexy as well. So I'm very high. I think all of this shit is sexy. You know what I mean? When I slap a motherfucker, I'm going to make it look sexy. And then, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully they make it look sexy because that's what it's supposed to be. Because he's talented and these guys can do that. So I'm very high on Gafka in year two. And you're absolutely right. May not be his guy, but he's on board with the guy. And very excited to see Isaiah Hodges. I know Hyatt, you know, I get it. Bryce Sweden, I get it. I even get Waller. But dog that this kid showed last year, you know, the confidence he had in himself, the behavior that exuded whenever he made the play. You know what I'm saying? It was, you can tell that he was hungry. and that he was tough enough, rough enough to be that dog. And so, I am high, though. Don't get me wrong. I am high. Just keeping my head on the swivel. The only concern is distribution, and can we be surgical with these guys? Everybody, 5 catches, 6 catches, 9 catches, you know what I'm saying? That plate spread out. Only.
All right, so for me, you know how the dude said in lottery ticket and shit? You put out that gun, you better use it, right? Put out that gun, you better use it. I feel like that's what these boys, you know what I mean? Really? They got these weapons, man, they better use them, you know what I mean? But my confidence level on it, and the reason why I asked the scale and shit is because, like, I would say it's high as well. Confidence level is high as well with these kids. But I can't say it's to the max. You know what I'm saying? I am reserved on things like my reservations is, of course, the health. None of these guys are, you can sit there and say, that they are some healthy guys that didn't really miss any games or, you know what I mean? Like, you can't say that about none of these guys. Like, they all have injury history. That's my main issue, main concern about it. It ain't about their talent because these guys are some talented motherfucking brothers. But how much and how long will they be on the field for us to reap the rewards of their talent? That's my reservation.
Well, let's pick the guys who don't have the injury history, right?
That's what I'm saying. It ain't none. Who is it?
Yeah.
Aya
doesn't have an injury.
They do.
No, I'm talking about, he has it, but what I'm saying is, like, at this moment, not being healthy. Remember what I said before?
I
said it because I knew
that. I get that point. Yeah, that, you know what I mean? And a lot of people is healthy right now. I think the only ones that you can possibly be, like, saying, like, well, I don't know if he's going to be ready is Shep and Wandell. But my point is, and what I was saying was that all these guys had injury history, and that's my concern. How long and how much will they stay on the field for us to reap the rewards of these benefits of their skills?
And it's funny how you said the word field, because that brings me right into the conversation that I'm so happy to have for the first time in my life. Our field is no longer the same. Meaning as, obviously, this injury history that we have had, the coaches, the real coaches that we got in the building, said, you know what? A lot of this shit is deriving from our field. We need to get rid of it. There's a reason why our guys are dealing with soft tissue injuries. Let's handle it. They actually have changed the field. So I want to see if that has the biggest impact on the practices, on the OTAs, on all of the preseasons, whatever it is. I want to see if that's one of the reasons why we were that injured as well in the past. Because it must have been something for everybody to have to get together and for them to be the first regime to say, yo, we got to take this shit out of here. This has to go. So, I think that translates.
That's a fact.
And the reason why I'm so, I am high on it, and, you know, I just put out the reason why I'm concerned, but the reason why I'm high on it is because there's nothing that we can't do with this core. There's nothing that we can't do with this core. I can possibly say last year, even though we got Slayton, we didn't use Slayton in that nature to go down the field. We could not stretch the field because we didn't have the weapons. Like I said, the only one I think that would possibly could stretch the field and go down the field was Slayton, and we didn't even use him for that. So now I'm looking at the core. We can stretch the field. We can possess the ball. And what I mean by that is get these little 10-yard first down, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Chip it away, chip it away, chip it away. You know what I'm saying? That shit, we can do that. You know what I mean? We could just dump it off to the playmakers and let them motherfucking make plays. We can do that. Like, there is nothing that we can't do with this core. That's why I'm high and very confident on it. Again, my concern is how long will they stay on this field? Can they stay healthy? This is something that I am concerned about. I am going to have my eyebrows raised on it. But, man, on the field, just like I told the Shakedown DMV yesterday, and definitely go check that out as well, man. Yeah, man, I had to fight off some commanders over there, man, talking some shit. Had to talk about this stick figure leg ass cornerback. You know what I'm saying? But what I told them was, man, you know what I mean? Because they were trying to get on me about me saying that the Giants had the best offseason. And I'm like, look, we grabbed up when healthy, and can't nobody argue it. Nobody can argue it. I dare you to try to argue it. But when healthy, that's the main caveat. When healthy, this tight end, Darren Waller, is a top three tight end in the league. Okay? In the league. The only ones you can say is better is Kelce and Mark Andrews. That's it.
And Kittle is swirled around. He just swirled around.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's an argument. That's definitely an argument. But that's it. They couldn't say nothing, bro. Knowing damn well that motherfucker is a top three tight end in this motherfucking league. God damn it, went healthy.
Top five, hands down.
You know what I mean?
Don't start that. Once you say top five, he's in there dead or alive.
That's a fact. There ain't no debate on that.
So here's what I didn't know. Going back, looking to these cornerbacks in the division. Starting with the Commanders, and I'm just going to name all their cornerbacks on the roster. Tariq Castro Fields, Cameron Dant Sizer Sr., DeMarcus Fields, Emmanuel Forbes, that's one. Kendall Fuller, that's two. Christian Holmes, Danny Johnson, Benjamin St. Just, that's three.
Yeah, they like St. Juice.
St. Juice, yeah, that's three for me. These are the names that I'm, the numbers that I'm calling out are the names that I know that I think are formidable, so that's three. DJ Stingus, Nick Whiteside, Rashad Wild Goose, Jartavius Martin, Will Bradley. Oh, no, hold on. All right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. It stops that.
LRP, can I just say something?
That's trouble.
After you got to St. Juice,
I ain't know who the fuck you mean.
Yeah, I just named all of them.
Chicken.
So it's only three.
That's a fact, bro. I don't know who the rest of those dudes is, bro.
Everybody on that list was grilled chicken. Not barbecue. Because that tastes too good. Sometimes grilled chicken is too dry.
Yeah, and not cooked all the way. You know what I mean?
And not cooked all the way. If you don't know what you're doing, you'll dry the chicken out if you don't know what you're doing on a grill.
No doubt.
Everybody on that list, LRP, was grilled chicken.
So we agree that they got three. All right, and then we'll double back on our receivers again now that, you know, I got this in front of me now to answer your question, E. So on to Dallas. Got D'Ron Bland, Trayvon Diggs, that's one. Stephon Gilmore, that's two. CJ Goodwin, I put that as a for me. Y'all can disagree after. Next, we got Kelvin Joseph, Jordan Lewis, Eric Scott Jr. Is this Nashashawn Wright? I don't know that. D'Angelo. And, no, stop it at Wright. So that's all they got.
Who is that?
This is Cowboys. This is their Cowboys cornerbacks that will be matching up with the wide receivers we was talking about earlier. I count three.
Right. Again, and I'm going to say this. Stephon Gilmore, I'm going to go on record. It's just me. We know what he is. We know what he was. That is not what it will be in Dallas. That is not what it will be. He is not going to be able to keep up with the speed of these wide receivers. He's going to look like Patrick Peterson. If we keep trying to go at him, eventually his experience, his ability to disrupt the play and the timing of a wide receiver on his route will lead to an interception, and it will look like, damn, man, he got an intel. But if the ball is thrown where it needs to be and he's deployed the right way, it will look like the Patrick Peterson in the second matchup versus the Minnesota Vikings. Ain't none he can do. All that experience, all that greatness, we respect it. But when you are faster, bigger, stronger, ain't none he can do.
Okay, so two for you, huh? Well, actually, what?
Two.
One. Oh, unless you so you good with CJ Goodwin?
He ain't never done nothing to make me feel like he ain't never do nothing to put no, damn, we got to watch this kid. He's, you know, he's nice. No, he ain't never do nothing. Diggs and Gilmore is what I see. I got two wide receivers that one is not even healthy yet. That's better than C.J. Goodwin and Wandell Robinson. And he damn sure can't keep up with Paris Campbell.
I'm glad we're talking about this. I want you to jump in there too, but I'm going to go down to one. Based off of, I'm really going to go down to one for Dallas. So, Commanders, I got three people that, you know, could be formidable, are formidable. But here, now I'm going to go with one. One and a possible. So, Diggs is the one. He's a spade. But Gilmore, you see, he's looking like a king of clubs right now. And that's a possible. You know what I mean? Oh, what happened to Six?
Waiting on him to come back. You know, I...
it looked like another thing here. I'm just going to hit continue. Hit with the direct connect. But, so, all right. Well, he'll jump in, but he back too. So, you agree with the one in a possible E?
On where, the Cowboys?
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a solid two. I mean, Gilmore, regardless of whoever has that, you know, has that. I'm going to give him a solid two.
What up, Six?
Gilmore has that experience. Yeah. He still can play this game. He knows what's up. And we all know what Diggs is. He's a ball home risk taker.
I agree with E, man. Yeah, I agree with E, man. Yeah, man.
Solid
Gilmore is definitely somebody, yeah. Gilmore is definitely somebody you gotta look out for, man. I mean, like, he ain't no slouch. He ain't nobody that you can just try to attack and abuse. I mean, you try to do that shit, he'll make you pay. So, yeah, for me, it's Diggs and Gilmore, solid too. I don't know who that nickel is. I didn't hear everything that you said, but I ain't really scared of nobody else. They got it with
Goodwin. The nickel is Goodwin.
Yeah, Nickel, I think that's a good one.
Like, come on, man. Like,
ah,
man, he baked
chicken
too, like my boy
said. Calvin Joseph, though, is, I think if I'm remembering correctly, I don't want to sit on that whole squad like that. I mean, Calvin Joseph, I think I saw him last year, number one. But yeah, I go. I'm going with one in a possible. I feel you, though. But now, can't stand these motherfuckers. So, we're on to the Eagles. James Bradbury, Mekhi Gardner, Mario Goodwitch. But so hold on. James Bradbury, that's one. Mekhi Gardner, Mario Goodwitch, Josh Jobe, Avante Maddox, Zach McPherson, Eli Ricks, that's two. Keely Ringo, that's three. Joshua Scott, Darius Slay, that's four. Greedy Williams, that's five for me. I know many people may disagree with that, but that's five cornerbacks on my list that are formidable, and that's the end of their cornerback list, but that's a hell of a list. I can't stand you, Eagles. I hate your guts.
Well, let me just make this very clear. One wide receiver from our team beat the shit out of three of those cornerbacks in college last season, and it wasn't even funny. He beat the shit out of Eli Ricks, Kelly Ringo. It wasn't even funny what he did to them. What Jalen Hyatt did to them two boys wasn't even funny.
Good to know.
Yeah, it was good. Definitely good, Nark. Definitely good.
Absolutely. Nark.
But, yeah, I do see five motherfuckers over there. Strong five over there. And get the damn job done. And that's some bullshit, man. I hate these
that's some bullshit,
bro. I hate them, bro.
Yes. Do you agree, E? I mean, as far as I called them out, is there anybody you replace, take off? I mean, would you say they got a strong five?
I'm going to agree. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like we don't know what time it is. And this is where I'm going. Let's name a name, LRP. Bring up a guy from their squad, and I'll bring up a receiver as a matchup.
Nice.
You said Bradbury, right?
Bradbury, yeah. Start with Bradbury.
Who would you put on our squad to mismatch that? Bradbury is not a man coverage corner. He's a zone press man coverage cornerback. He operates well within the system. He's a system cornerback guy. Who would you put on him to expose him? Paris Campbell, Darius Slayton, Isaiah Hodgins, Jalen Hyatt. Who would you put on him?
I would go Darius Slayton.
Okay. Just to move him out of the way or get him out of the way? Because he doesn't follow the number one wide receiver around. They just play man coverage. Okay. So who's their second corner?
Second guy goes down. Is Eli Ricks.
All right.
Okay. A rookie.
Actually, the first corner is Slay. Then you go Bradbury. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going down the list as I was read here. But if I'm going with matchups, we can go with Slay. Let's go. Yeah, we can go how it's going to go on the field.
Who do we put against Slay? We all know he's susceptible against bigger, taller wide receivers, no matter what. He cannot stop bigger, faster, taller wide receivers.
That would be Campbell for
me. Let me jump in real quick, LLP, right? So,
go ahead.
When you ask this question about Bradbury already, right? Like, I was thinking about it. Like, if he matched up against, like, a Hodgins, I think he got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bradbury, I think, got Hodgins. You know what I'm saying? Like, he will hold Hodgins down. Like, that's a receiver that he can defend well. But if you put Paris Campbell, maybe even Darius Slayton, you know what I'm saying, on Bradbury, the way, like, how jittery or man, Jalen Hyatt lights out. You know what I mean? Like, he can't hold him. But the jittery, like, how jittery and fast and quick and, you know, the speed of these guys, Bradbury can't keep up. He can't. So that's what I feel about that. And then, like, with Slay, I feel like he can match up with those speedy guys, with the Hyatts and the Slaytons and the Campbells of the world. But where I feel like on our team that we can get him fit is Hodges. Bigger guy, you know what I mean? Can bully him a little bit more. I think Hodges can have a little more farewell way against Slay. That's my opinion.
Right, and you're absolutely right. When it comes to guys that, remember, when we used to play, Bradbury was here with us for 3 years. When he was with us, what did he always lose to? Guys who were quick, twitchy in the slot that he couldn't keep up with that are route runners. Paris Campbell is a route runner, quick, twitchy in the slot. Jalen Hyatt, he can't keep up with a double move, a stop and go, a go route, a slant route, a cross route. He's not keeping up with that.
Yep.
He's nowhere near going to keep up with that. That's why he's a pressed man coverage corner. And when it comes down to zone coverage. So here we go with Slay. Who's he actually going to play defense on? Once Isaiah Hodgins is deployed up the field, Slay is going to have to allocate funds to that. Whoever their free safety is going to have to help out with a linebacker. You got guys underneath. Now you got guys like Jalen Hyatt, Paris Campbell, Jamison Crowder. You got guys like Bryce Ford Wheaton. Don't forget Saquon Barkley coming out of the backfield. So even when you have these guys as matchups, where are they going to play when it comes to the route on the field? They're not all going to be in the same place. They're going to be spread out across the field to open up something that's an easy, quick pass or something intermediate to Daniel Jones. With all that defense in the world, they still couldn't stop anything that was taking place last season when it came down to the passing game. They were number one against so many things, but people score points.
Well,
definitely,
this we want to get through the rest of these guys, but that make sure you download this episode. This has been the Shakedown AM in the morning. We got like 1 minute left in the live portion. We move on to closing statements, and we'll finish chopping it up on the downloadable portion. Well, the whole show is downloadable, but y'all know what I mean as far as live. But tune in and get your Shakedown fix. Tune in, subscribe, like, download, give us a call next week. And, yeah, go ahead, y'all. Either chosen one. What you got for the people?
Ain't nothing, man. It just feels good to talk to my brothers, be back with my brothers, and look for your boy to be back full-fledged in about a couple of weeks, man, so we can do what we do best, which is let y'all know what time it is, give y'all that content that y'all will be waiting for, and, you know, getting your cup of coffee and your donut, starting the second half of your day at your job or whatever you got going on, man. Tune in because we're always a part about being a part of being in. That's what it's all about, man. Shakedown. Y'all know what time it is. You're the chosen one from the Bronx. I love my brothers, man. And thank y'all for having me this morning.
Man, we ain't got to have you, bro. You already at the table, my brother. So, Shakes. Oh, for me, keep it short and sweet. Let y'all tune in next time. I let Shakes close out with the last 20 seconds.
No doubt, man. I just wanted to say, man, it's great to have my brother back with us, man, and hear his voice on the airwaves. It's good to be back on Blog Talk Radio. Again, next week, we'll be back on our original platform, our original tip. So you'll, it'll definitely be a good one. It's over when it gets loud like that. I mean, it's over. But yeah, man. But yeah, yeah. Glad to be back on this platform again. Number will be changed. I'm going back to original spot. or you definitely can listen to us on the Spotify, the iTunes, everything else that you can listen to your regular podcast on. And that will be starting next week. So definitely tune in on Tuesday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and so on Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. All right? And other than that, man, be good.
Absolutely.
I ain't going to go
and
into it.
It is a hell of a top it up. Oh, my bad.
No, you good. I was
good
just
to hear
saying,
from
you,
brother.
Missed the shit out of I said that same sentiment, bro. Same sentiment.
So
we never really
we chopped
know
it up on a valuable portion right now?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
You know, yeah, just a little bit. We're going to give them a little extra shit. You know what I mean? Just a little extra, and then we're going to get up out of there because I don't really like to go over the 2-hour mark because then it's hard to kind of download it to put it up on the YouTube joint. So we try to stick around this, you know, under the 2-hour joint. But, you know, to chop it up with y'all real quick on other than sports, this is where we get to the other than sports part. Not sure if y'all seen it yet, but the new Fast and the Furious, it was all right, right? But I felt like the way they ended it off was too much like the Avengers. Which one was that when Thanos won? When he actually won, and then he snapped the fingers, everybody was gone. Which one was that? That wasn't Endgame. That was, yeah, there you go. Right? So I feel like they was trying to do too much of that. I feel like they was trying to be on that type of time where they gearing up for the next one. That's what I feel with that one. And even though, yeah, it is.
Yeah, they said that there was going to be, this one was a setup for a 3-part trilogy, so there's 2 more, and that would be it. But they eked out 3 more goddamn movies out of this one.
That's a fact. You got to squeeze every motherfucking juice, you know what I'm saying, out the motherfucking orange when you're doing something like that and you making a whole bunch of money, and shit, man, squeeze the fuck out of it so you can't squeeze no more, man. Hell yeah, I would have done the same thing. Give me 3 more of these things. Give me 3 more of these things.
They come up with the most craziest shit, bro. When this motherfucker stuck a goddamn spigot in his axle to swing like Tarzan from one fucking mountain to another mountain, and you didn't even make it. Yeah. You hit the fuck out of the mountain, and you flip.
Mm-hmm.
And you still good with the white shirt, still white?
The white shirt, still white. Not a sweat.
Too much. It was just like, because he hit the fucking mountain. It would be different if he landed on the ground, you know, like a cat. Shit, like, oh, shit, motherfucker landed on the wheel and still rolling. You know what I mean? Give you something to forget about. But not, you actually hit the fuck out of that mountain. Whole thing exploded, like, boom, loud as hell. And boom, 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 boom. And then, oh, she got to say this. I don't know what she said, but something that was interesting, some shit like that. Like, what? Hell no.
Yeah,
we're out of the white. Shat myself. Yeah. That's all I want to hear.
It definitely wasn't.
I mean,
you know.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't something.
Once the Fast movie come out, we compel, man. That's just how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, like, watching a movie, it don't really, you know how, like, usually a Fast and the Furious movie have you very engaged, you know what I mean? Like where you're drawn to it and you can't really turn away, like or you know what I mean, you don't even want to leave to go to the bathroom type of shit. You know what I mean? Unless you motherfucking you in your own home and you can pause it. But like this one, I'm telling you, bro, like I was doing so much activity trying to finish watching this damn movie. I'm not trying to say it's a bad movie. I'm just saying that it don't go up there with the regular Fast and the Furious. And I just think that they kind of like what I said, even in a good way for them, I feel like it, in a bad way as well, is that they were just trying to give you something. You know what I'm saying? Give you something. And that's what I feel with this one. I feel like they were just trying to give us something. But it was interesting to see that they went back with the flashback on with the Paul Walker thing. You know what I mean? That was interesting to see Paul Walker back. And that's what I want to ask y'all as well real quick before we finish and top this off. You know, I ain't say top, so I ain't saying Paul. I said top. All right? But what I want to ask y'all is this. Because there is rumors that they are going to bring Paul Walker back in this trilogy, as you said. And they even thinking about doing the CGI? The computer generated? Yeah. CGI. Hologram type of shit, you know what I mean? That they did with the Tupac and the concert and all that, like, just computer generated filming, you know. And you got Paul Walker in the
If they do it like the Gemini Man, then you know what I mean.
Right.
I wonder
how right.
they probably would.
Right.
They did that. That shit was
dope.
Right. You know, to me it was. I like that. But they're doing like that.
So you wouldn't mind seeing Paul Walker in the next Fast and Furious in the CGI joint, in the CGI form? Because some people are reserved on that. They like they don't want to see that. They don't want to see that. And I don't know. Like I don't mind it. But my opinion on it is like when he died, they was like, he's not gonna die on the show. We're gonna keep him around and you know what I mean? Do little shit. All right. That was commendable. But now you talk about bringing him back and putting him back into the movie and then to the franchise when the man gone. The man dead. He dead, y'all. And you're going to say, yeah, well, you know what I mean? We don't want to put you in the movie anyway, though. I mean, is he going to have a contract? Is he going to get paid? Is his family going to get paid for that? These are things that
would be my question.
Are you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you using the family's being taken care of.
Yeah. Like, can they get paid? Can they get a contract or something, bro? Like, that's for me. That's my question for this shit. It's like, all right, fine, that's cool if you do the CGI shit, but I just want to know, you know what I mean, with y'all doing all this extra shit, are y'all paying extra, you know what I'm saying, are y'all doing extra, you know what I'm saying, are y'all paying the right people to do so, because I know damn well if that was my damn uncle or cousin or brother, and they like, yeah, we throwing them in a new movie. I'm like, well, what? Wait a minute. Ain't nobody talking to me. My brother dead.
His family definitely gets royalties and money from all the movies.
They should.
Because they reference
him. That's right.
Reference him in all the movies, either with the child, either with an image or flashback. Even with something, he's always referenced because the first thing Dom talks about is family, and he brings him up in a reminiscent way. You know what I mean? So he's always referenced. So he's getting that money, and that's only right.
That's only right. Yeah, that's only right.
Yeah, I ain't got no problem with it. I mean, he lives on the screen. You know what I mean? And you live and you. You big them up, in that regard. That's how I see it, you know what I mean? Because you can't have these movies without him, you know what I mean? And that's part of his legacy. So I don't mind it. They do have the technology to do it. And, you know, the family will definitely have 2 hours to be able to spend with them for the rest of their lives, you know what I mean? And it continues on. Now, I don't know if that causes anything traumatic on a psychological side, because after the movie's over, you got to come to reality again that he's not here. I don't know if that becomes for some people, without the tutelage, the therapy maybe be needed to be able to compartmentalize that. But outside of that, I ain't got no problem with it.
No, and you know what? You make up a great point, because I have to think about it in that aspect as well. Because, like, just imagining, like, if my family member did pass away, but, you know what I mean, they were famous for something, or, you know what I mean, they made movies or whatever. And to get to see him on screen one more time, even if it's not real, just to see his face one more time, I think maybe that would warm my heart. You know what I mean? But then, like you said, I don't know if it will make me miss them more, you know?
Right.
Like, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? So, that's a tricky thing. That's a definitely tricky thing. But I think for me, I think that kind of would warm my heart more, just to see that person's face on the screen one more time. Like, wow, like, I haven't seen this motherfucker in 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to see your face again, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it may warm my heart, but then it may, I may be like, damn, man, I ain't see this motherfucker in 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
But
like, I really miss this motherfucker.
There's definitely, if it was someone who was going through that, or was thinking from that aspect of, like you said, there's a lot of people against it. If those individuals fall in this category, I would encourage, you know, to treat it as if you're going to see their site. You know what I mean? To visit or bring flowers. You know, the flowers are in the form of, you know, money and popcorn to celebrate versus mourn. And that's how I would approach it. But, you know, it is a tricky thing, and, you know, so that's why I said the people who are falling in that category, if it does bother you because it's out of your hands, you know what I mean, there's a lot of people that want the money, so, you know, they'll defecate on that, you know, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. That's how you combat that. Flip it.
Absolutely. All right. And before we get on the total statements and get up out of here, definitely check out Power Midnight Tonight, final episode 10. I'm pretty sure that a lot of
before
y'all...
Before they even know you watched it already.
That's a fact. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's exactly what I'm about to say. I know a lot of y'all already watched the episode when it got leaked and everything, but again, I know y'all going to go ahead and watch that again this weekend, you know, on Stars. Let them get their money so they can keep this Power series going and not have no type of excuses. But, yes, definitely check that out tonight, final episode. And the next one is Power Book 4. That's the Tommy series.
Tommy.
But the problem, that shit ain't coming out until September.
What?
And what the fuck? September? Come on.
But isn't Raising Canaan next, though? Shouldn't that be starting soon?
I think that's probably after 4.
That's after 4?
So, yeah, like the next one is 4th, and that shit ain't coming out this September. So, we got a while for some Power, man, after this shit, so... Yeah, y'all make sure that y'all enjoy this last episode. You know what I mean? Enjoy this last episode, that last episode that y'all got to watch for a few months now. You know what I mean?
They,
come on, man.
They whack for that, bro.
Right? And I know it ain't your fault, Vicky. I know if it was up to you, you would do that. But 50. You got to put more pressure on them, bro. And stars, man. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. 50 said power will never end. For me, I took it literally. I took it as, okay, I took it as one series stops, another series picks up. I don't want to go without a power. So, stars, fix it. Fix it now, okay? Fix it. Other than that, man, great episode, man. Again, it was so great to have our brother Eda Tozon from the Bronx back with us again today. Give us a closing statement, Eda Tozon from the Bronx.
As always, man, y'all know what time it is. Join and like and subscribe to the tribe too, man. A lot of times we don't put out enough that the Shakedown Media Network is on YouTube. Doing big things. Go check out the interviews. Go check out, you know what I mean, the episodes, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. The time, and if I'm not mistaken, is from 7 to 8 and sometimes 8 to 9. The time fluctuates due to what the crew is doing, man. You guys go check that out. Look at us on the spaces. Look at us on YouTube. Look at us on Blog Talk Radio. We out here making moves, man. It ain't nothing to play with, so stop playing. Like and subscribe and join the tribe, man. Outside of that, I love you, brothers, man. Thank y'all for letting me speak today in a therapeutic sense. Y'all have no idea what it helped me get through this morning. And I love you both, man, dearly.
No, bro.
Love you,
bro. Love you too, bro.
Love you too.
You know what I'm saying? For real. That's what's up. Glad to have you. Glad to hear you. My closing statement is support your peoples, man. You know, man, there's a conglomerate of individuals out here that I love and respect and I'm a fan of, and I'm appreciative that I have a platform to be able to speak my mind, talk my stuff, do my thing, and just escape and talk. But also, there's plenty of others, you know what I mean? So download us, download them, download we, download us. Subscribe to us. Subscribe to all and get your content in, get your shows in. And that's it, man. Enjoy the day. I'm waking up today with a high school college graduate. Couldn't be prouder. Daughters, I mean, you know, everything's good, man. Shouts out to the people. Love y'all. Shouts out to Black, J-Rock, Shakes, Eda Chosen One, Nacho in the Box with Cheese, Shakedown Crew. That's it.
Absolutely, man. All right, and as for me, man, so definitely got more content on the way. Definitely drop more content, so y'all stay tuned for that. Gonna bring out more of these shows as well, videos as well. Today's Culture, I'm gonna be doing some videos for that, so y'all look out for that. Also, I think my boys is gonna try to get an Urban Culture back going on sometime in the summer. Also,
Urban Impact.
That's a fact. And also look out for Stay School and Eva. I will be, you know, chopping it up on different movies that drop out and stuff like that. Even if my boy can't do it with me, you'll still get a Stay School. You know what I'm saying? You'll still get a Stay School. All right? Because the people need it. The people want it. They like, man, what's going on with it? I gotta deliver it. I got to deliver it. Shakedown Media Network, man. This is what we doing. We're dropping all types of content for all of the motherfuckers. All right? So make sure that y'all go over there, smash the subscribe button, go watch the videos, like the motherfuckers. Again, go watch the Nick Pilato interview, the John Hendricks interview. Watch our video where we previewed the NFC West opponent. Watch our video yesterday where we predicted the 53-man roster. Watch our video with the schedule release. I mean, we've been out here working, bro. All right? So definitely, definitely go over there and subscribe and go watch and enjoy the content. All right? Other than that, like we always say around this time, we don't expect y'all to agree with us. but we damn sure expect y'all understanding. Understand? So don't get shook up, so you keep shit locked. It's the Shakedown with New York Giants on that drive for five, and we out of there. Take us away, LRP.
Yo, yo, y'all just been shook up by the Shakedown, and we out here. Peace. Be safe.
One. Good night.